You want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, or you go to your device, or Todd will soon get it up in front of us. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. Matthew 8, 23 and following. I think I'm on, right, Todd? Good. Hey, good stuff so far. A lot of good stuff. Amazing. When we had a council meeting this morning, it was outstanding. I appreciate Patty and Lucy, Mike and John, of course, and considered a number of things. But when I mentioned, you know, some of our ministry highlights that we're beginning this testimony moment, Lucy asked if it was going to cut into my speaking, you know, the time it takes. And well, from 10 points, I'm going to cut it down to 8 points. So, you know, So, it's not going to cut in at all. But anyways, that was good. So, Matthew chapter 8, you're there? And it says, speaking of Jesus, it said, then he got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. That's what disciples do. They follow Jesus, right? And it says, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. Luke, in his account of this happening, says they were in great danger. So their following of Jesus put them in harm's way. And then it says, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. I mean, that's just such an amazing statement. But Jesus was sleeping. So they're in trouble, they're in great danger to the extent where they're about to be swamped and perhaps go under. And where's Jesus? You ever feel like that? He's sleeping. And then it says the disciples went, good move on the disciples' part, you know. And then it says, they went and they woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. We're going under. And then Jesus replied, you of little faith. Now notice he doesn't say, you know, where's your faith or why don't you have more faith? But he calls them in particular people of little faith. And then he got up, he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Thank God for that kind of miracle. And then it says they were amazed and they said, well, who is this? Let's pray together. Father, as we look at your word this morning and consider these things, I pray that we would hear your voice speaking to us. And as I said in my opening prayer, that we would have a sense of being nurtured, of being strengthened, that when we leave here this morning, we'll have this something about our lives that heaven has touched us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. So, here we are, the last Sunday of the month, the last Sunday of January, as we are into a new year, 2017. And we've been looking at those things that are ahead of us in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Started at the beginning of the year, said some things about that, how it is that we can look ahead into this year. Certain goals that we can go for in our own lives, helping us to renew our relationship with the Lord. And I thought it best now to end this series of sorts, by looking at a particular ingredient that without which our walk with Jesus would be made impossible. We would go nowhere without this one particular ingredient. And it comes from my text in particular this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, where the apostle makes a parenthetical statement in which he says, for anybody know it? For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And I want to say simply this morning that the Christian life takes faith. faith. It takes faith. It really does. And it's not long before you start reading the Bible when you see, you know, it'd be no exaggeration to say that you can find faith almost on every page of the Bible. Faith. The Christian life takes faith. And there's so many things that we could say about that, but I want to zero in on something this morning. So in our verse before us from Corinthians, it's in the context of you know, we are absent from the Lord right now. That here in this life that the Lord has given to us a body and we have life, and we're absent from the Lord. We're absent from the Lord in that we are not literally present with Him in heaven. Now, there's coming a day when that's going to happen. And when that day comes, even as Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians 13, where, you know, there's coming a day when faith and hope won't be needed anymore. Love will remain, right? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. But he says, until that day, those three abide. And the first of them is what that he mentions? Faith. 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 So it takes faith. The Christian life takes faith. This life that we're living takes faith. And so here and now, living in and within the realities that we don't see. And notice I said realities. Because we don't see something doesn't mean that it's not a reality. I remember speaking this last year at youth camp. Had the privilege of speaking to both camps, the young kids and the older kids, junior camp and senior camp. And in junior camp, you know, you're always reach for illustrations and analogies that you hope are going to identify with them and help them to understand who God is. And talking about the Holy Spirit and how real He is, and though we don't see Him yet, we know He's real because we can feel Him and we can feel God. And I brought the little analogy, maybe showed some things up on the screen, whatever, in regards to the wind. And if, you know, the wind blows and you don't see it, nevertheless, you know the wind is a reality that's there, right? And so there are realities that we live in, spiritual realities, realities in our walk with God that we don't see, yet they are real. They are real. And though we don't see them, we have this thing called faith that is able to reach inside, if you will, those realities and is able to bring them into our lives. Faith does that. And this is what he means to say, that we walk by faith or we live by faith and not by what we see. Because oftentimes what we just now see can mitigate against the realities, the spiritual realities that in fact we live in our walk with Jesus by faith, especially during difficulties. I want to talk about that this morning. How's your faith? How's your faith this morning? How's your faith? If you were put into the kind of situations of following Jesus that the disciples were put in, and hey, you know, let's talk about it. Aren't we often in our following of Jesus brought into situations like these disciples were brought into? Kids get sick, accidents happen, difficulties come, losses happen, disappointments happen, there are difficulties, storms happen, and it seems like Jesus is nowhere to be found. In fact, He must be sleeping. And how's your faith then? How's my faith then? You know? How's your faith? Now, I want to think about it for a moment, faith. Because faith is one of those kinds of things that's like, it can be, you know, it almost feels intangible, you know. We talk about spiritual things, it's like, well, they're, what are they? Kind of fuzzy things, but you know, faith isn't some kind of wishful thinking. I want to put it in that context, first of all. You know, wishful thinking or a magic formula, you know, that gets us what we want. You know, wishful thinking. You know, I'm wishing for this, and if I, you know, it's almost like a superstitious or stupidstitious type of thing. If I wish hard enough and strong enough, you know, maybe I'll just get in, put in this psychological effort, you know, and that's faith, or some kind of magic formula. Say the right words, do the right thing, you know. Well, then that is going to kind of enact faith, and something is going to come. I'm going to be able to touch God or reach into those spiritual realities and make them a part of my life. No. And here's the other thing about faith. Although faith is positive, it's more than positive thinking. It's more than positive thinking. Now, you know, the little train that could, right? I mean, come on. I think I can. Everybody knows that, right? Down, you know, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Oh, I can, you know. And again, faith is more than that. It's more than something just positive. It includes that. But it's not like, well, you know, this self-help type of thing that I do for myself by in any kind of situation that I am. If I only, you know, adjust my thinking to be positive about it, well, that's exercising faith to bring me through it. Not necessarily. That isn't necessarily faith. And there's a lot of reasons why it wouldn't be. But just to hear me say this morning, because I'm going after something else, with this whole idea of the Christian life takes faith. Faith, says Dr. Paul Tournier, says this. He says, faith does not mean going forward without difficulty. So we think about our walk with God step by step, moving forward. Faith is taking us somewhere. He says it's not moving forward without difficulty. And I like this, what he says. But it's receiving the strength needed to go on despite all external and internal difficulties and daring to look at them in the face. That's faith, you know? So oftentimes we think of it as a magic formula. Well, let me get out of this difficulty quick. I'll just exercise faith. It's gone. And no. But faith is exactly the opposite of that. And like the disciples, we find out how our faith is when we're put into the kind of situations that they were put in when they were put into a storm. You know? That's when faith is, we find out whether we're people who are large in faith or small in faith. So when I ask you the question, what kind of faith do you have? How's your faith? How's my faith? I discover how my faith is when I'm called upon to exercise it. You know? When I'm called upon to exercise it, I discover whether or not I'm in shape or if my faith muscles have atrophied. You know? Right? We find out. Now, Thomas Aquinas, some of you have heard of him, he said this. He said that he would rather exercise faith than know the definition of faith. And when you look at the Bible, you see this to be true. Probably the only closest definition that we have of what faith is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, right? Where he says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so you say, well, that's a definition of faith. Well, that's pretty darn close to the definition. And then example after example, he gives us the lives of people who exercised faith to say to us, this is what faith is. And over again in that chapter, by faith, by faith, by faith. And so this is the challenge that I want to put to us, put to you this morning is, here it is now. You know, we're off and running into the new year. We've said some things, I hope, to give us a foundation for our lives as we're going into this year. And to say to you, this is a challenge that I want to put for you this morning and for myself. The challenge is to do more than, remember the message on setting some goals for ourselves, and, you know, doing something physical was one of those challenges. You know, go to the gym, do some exercise, physical. Well, here's the challenge. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Lord, how is it that, you know, how's God, how's my faith, and how is it that I could exercise faith in my life, in my walk with you, like I've never done before? Ooh, that's a beauty for the year, you know? Now, I understand faith in my own life to be my spiritual sight, so that what seeing is to my life, to my physical life, faith is to my spiritual life. And in as much as, you know, to be without sight would be to be in the dark, right? To be without my faith would also be to be in my, to be in the dark, my life. And so, Lord, help me to exercise faith that I really see some things here. And, you know, better than praying for more faith, you know, you say, how's my faith? Well, I can use more of it. I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think that the situation is in my life when it comes to faith that I need more faith. No. Because Jesus himself said what? If you have faith the size of what? A mustard seed. You got enough. He said, in fact, if you have the size of, you know, a mustard seed, I mean, it's pretty tiny. He said, you could say to this mountain, what? Be removed and be thrown into the sea. So we get the idea here that it's not more faith that I need, but I think it's clarity of faith in my life. You know? How much faith do I have? Am I exercising the faith that I have? And so faith reaches into the realities of God and His Word. It reaches in there, and it brings them to bear. It brings them to work in my life, whatever the circumstances are in my life. So I pray, Lord, help me this year to strengthen my faith. That's the challenge that I just simply want to say it this morning. I don't have much else to say except to challenge us to exercise our faith. Exercise, Lord, help me this year to strengthen my faith by exercising it more. More than I have until now. And when you leave me, when, you know, when I hop on the boat with you, Jesus, and the storms come up, you know, my prayer is that I have smooth sailing. You know? And a thing that I discover about smooth sailing is that it doesn't help me to exercise faith. Well, it's like, oh boy. Oh boy. But when the waters get rough and the storm, but see, here's the deal though. Anybody here not without a storm in your life? I mean, it's an impossibility. Life is filled with storms. You know? And so the better we learn how to exercise our faith in the storms, the stronger our faith will be. And it's not to say, you see, in the exercising of, thank God that the miracle does really happen. Jesus calms the sea. Even when there is that kind of doubt, you know. Because so often we think that faith means that I never doubt. And I think it's just the opposite. That oftentimes faith is navigating through in spite of the doubts that I have. You know? It really is. You know? Amen. That's all I have this morning, except... It really is. I mean, that really is my message. Just say, hey, you know, to exercise your faith this morning. But I want to end this way. And I'm doing it because I feel like I have to. That through worship this morning, I had this vision going through my mind. And I don't, and it's like, so okay, I finished my message, and I could have preempted my message this morning, but that would have been so unlike me to have done that, because I felt like I need to say something for someone or someones this morning who are here that I wasn't planning on saying. And if you know me, it's like, it's hard for me, you know, it's like I'm just one of those type of guys where it's like, it's, if I start something and I don't finish it, it's like my life is over. It's like, even if I start reading a book, a bad book, it's like, well, I started it, I might as well finish. You know, even it's just, or whatever. It's like my life just is incomplete and so this morning, even though I could have preempted my message, it was like, well, you know, I prepared this message, the challenge is on faith. I got to do it. Even though I am just obsessed with this vision right now. And so I'm going to go for it. And I have a little time left. It's like this, okay? I'm going to tell you a story. It's like this. So you see, not only have I preached one sermon this morning, I'm preaching two. No, but this is, I don't know what this means. But anyways, okay. When I was a kid, you know, my father was an avid fisherman. And I can remember, you know, my father calling in sick to work. I was just a kid, you know, and he'd call in to work whatever day it was, you know, not coming in today. Okay, and then it was, okay, Bobby, let's go. You know, and we're all fishing. We're going fishing. And you know, so we would go fishing. And it happened that, you know, my father and I would go fishing so much that when I got old enough to go out fishing by myself, I never would go. I don't like fishing. But anyways, when I was a kid, I loved going fishing. And more than loving to fish, there was this one lake that we would go to that was a small lake. But I, in particular, liked going there because we'd always rent a rowboat when we got there to fish. Instead of fishing from shore, from the whatever, you know, special places that he knew, we'd rent the rowboat. And I liked that in particular because I rowed. I would row the boat, you know. My job to row the boat. The other thing I liked about this lake was that it was crystal clear. As a kid, I was fascinated, you know. So when my father was fishing or my grandfather, I'd be, you know, looking, you know, over the boat in the water and, checking out things right to the bottom. It was just fascinating. And so this one day, that's where we went, and we're fishing, and I'd row the boat. I mean, I was so good at rowing, I could row like this. I don't know, I could even stand up and row. I was just a good rower. And so as we were fishing this one day, beautiful day, I can remember, I was just a kid. And so my father said, as he would often say, they're not biting here, Bobby, let's go over here. You know, another spot. So that's what I would wait for. I hope the fish, please don't bite. Let her, you know, so I can continue rowing. Let's try another spot. So I just love to row. And so let's go over here. So, okay, so I got, you know, and I'm rowing. And as I'm rowing, I'm noticing that it's very difficult to row the boat. Now, my father was a big guy. And yet, you know, resistance in water in the rowboat. And it's like, and as I'm rowing and trying to get to the other side, my father's getting a little perturbed. Come on, you know, what are you doing? And as this is playing out, and I'm trying, and my father's getting frustrated, I look over the side of the boat only to see the white clothesline that we used for rope to hold the coffee can filled with concrete that we use for anchors still in the water as I'm rowing. And so it's like, oh, I forgot to pull up the anchor. You know, pulled up the anchor, off we went, easy sailing, or rowing if you prefer. And so that little story came to my mind this morning. as I've been thinking about it, even in the context of something else, even in my own life, thinking about that story. And how it is that, and maybe it relates to our walk of faith, in that sometimes our walk of faith is hindered because we have an anchor in. And our progress is impeded because we got some anchors to pull up. And then this morning, this other scripture came to mind as I was sitting there, and I was debating, Lord, should I just drop my message and forget about this? But then I see how this relates, even as I'm talking, you know, this is a part of exercising faith. And he says in Hebrews chapter 12, just got out of the faith chapter, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, what kind of witnesses? Witnesses that give us the example of how it is that we ought to exercise our faith in our walk with Jesus. And he says, let us throw off everything that hinders in the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked before us. Now, the metaphor is completely different. Here he's using a race. And I'm using a rowboat with an anchor, you know. But the idea is the same. To become unhooked from those things that are drags in our life that prohibit us from advancing in faith like we ought to be advancing. Have you ever seen the movie Jim Thorpe? Anybody ever seen the movie about Jim Thorpe, All-American Jim Thorpe, football player? Anyways, well, that's not going to work then. Well, anyways, Jim Thorpe back in, 30s, 40s, was a star athlete, football player. And I remember watching the movie of him, and he was running, you know. And that's the idea here, you know, the race. And it's like, you know, when you come up to the starting line to run a race, they're in running clothes. And they're not in clothes, you know, you don't step up to the running line in a three-piece suit or a long flowing dress, whatever. No, you're dressed appropriately for the race. And that's the idea here. Otherwise, what? You'd be hindered, you'd be impeded from the race you're running in. So he says, get in the right running clothes, take those things off. Take those things off. Or pull up the anchors or cut loose from the anchors, you know, in your life. And he says, and then he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, I end with this. And so I challenge you to exercise your faith. In my own life, there has been something that's been, and I remember mentioning it a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week, about something in my own life that I was dealing with, that I'm dealing with. And I saw it this week. Became more clear to me, and it became clear to me how I needed to unhook or remove, you know, to pull up that anchor of holding grudges against people from my life. You know? And I saw how that was, you know, has been hindering my life, my relationship with the Lord. And, I mean, I can give you names and places and dates and things that were said and things that were done and reason why I'm holding grudges. And I felt as though that I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to stop hating this particular person. I don't know, I forgive. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be vulnerable. I should have said persons because it's more than one person that I'm holding a grudge against. And things that were done to me or to my family that were way wrong. Some things maybe I deserved. Some things maybe self-inflicted, but majority of things I can honestly say we're just, you know, I didn't deserve that. And, you know, you say you forgive, and you try to fight against the urges to send letter bombs. And what I mean by that is, you know, so when you're in these particular people's company, or when they're conjured up in your mind, that you fight against those things and you act other than you feel like you're being pushed to act. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. And I think that's the right way to handle it. And yet at the same time, I felt in my own life that if I didn't have this restraint, I'd just as soon pound the snot out of them. You know? Ugh. I really would. And it's like, wow, you know, where's the compassion and love of Jesus? You know, and then it's like, I don't know. You know, I don't know where that is right now. You know, it's like, and in some ways, I don't care where it is right now, because these things keep on coming up. And you see the horribleness of it. And it's like, I wish them dead. And I have said that. Yeah. And this morning and through this week in particular, yesterday, and this morning in the worship service, which was the songs were for me, about freedom, that was for me. And I saw that I could not set myself free from those things. And that was freeing for me. Does that make sense? You know where it says? It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. So it's like all this stuff. How do I get loose from these things? How do I pull up that anchor? And then he throws in there, but fix your eyes on Jesus. And so it's like, okay, Lord, this morning I'm fixing my eyes on you. And that verse came running through my mind. Whoever the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And so my whole attitude about this and these grudges is changing to one of, I am set free from them. They don't control my life. Does that make sense? They don't control my life. Now, I think something is still there that has to be mopped up, okay? You know, the mess. It has to be cleaned up. But I really do feel like I can be at ease about it, that Jesus has set me free from that. And that's a good thing, because I don't want to wish anybody dead. I'm a Christian, after all, you know, I'm supposed to love people. Is that cool? And so, you know, what about you? You know, I'm being vulnerable here. What about you? You know, and are there anchors, you know, in your walk of faith that are hindering you from making better progress? I'm not going to name any because, well, if I name them, that'd give away more of where I'm at, because we have a tendency to name the things we do, right? You know what I'm saying? And I've been vulnerable enough. But what are those things that you may feel, and would you be challenged to ask the Lord, Lord, what are those things that I need to pull up in my life? Can we leave it at that? Let's stand together in His presence. I'm done. See, and this is an exercise of faith for me, because it's like, I really hope all of this stuff that I just navigated through really does work. I really hope it works. You know, I hope faith works. I hope it works for me. Amen. Okay, let's pray. And we're just going to take a couple of minutes before I actually say anything in prayer and give you a little bit of time, not to do self-inventory, but to say to the Lord, Lord, you do some inventory in my own life, that, you know, maybe there's some anchors that got to be pulled up, that I need to be set free from, that I need to allow myself to be cut loose from in my own life. that maybe has nothing to do with grudges or relationships with someone else. It, totally different things that, you know, you need to be set free from, and to see how it is that you could fix your eyes on Jesus for him to set you free from that thing. Is that cool? Let's just take a moment. And so, Lord Jesus, as we're here in your presence, I say thank you, Lord God, that you know what's going on in all of our lives, and knowing so intimately, you love us still. How wonderful that is. And you set us free. Thank you for that, Jesus, that our eyes fixed upon you, with that gaze comes power, with that gaze comes release in our own lives. And I want to thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I pray that these things that you would make known to us that we need to pull up or cut loose from in our own lives, that we might exercise faith as you would have us to, Lord God, that you would do that miraculous work in each one of the hearts of your people who are here this morning. Make it memorable, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you.